Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's give Jesus one more big round of applause. He is alive and he is with us. Amen. Can we give our worship team a round of applause? Set in the atmosphere for your healing and your breakthrough. Come on, I want you to know it's what we do here on Sundays. It's more than just singing some songs and then we get up and hear some Bible stories and go home. What we're doing in this room, every time we gather here, I want you to come in this place with an expectation. Everybody say expectation. It's more than songs. The Bible says that God dwells in the praises of his people. Dwells. He inhabits. And we get strength just being amongst each other. But I also want you to make sure you also give God your focus. Amen? And I want you to focus in on that. Again, God always has something up his sleeves. You see, and if you don't get close to him, you can't receive it. And one of the gifts that we have to draw near to him is worship. When we sing, when we lift up our hands, all of these postures that we do, when I tell you to lift your hands, it's not just because I want to tell you to do something. It's because I want you to get ready to receive, to posture yourself for what God has in store for you. Amen? So never take these moments lightly, because one thing I've learned is this. That sometimes we get comfortable and we feel like, oh, we're good where we are in life. Some of you might have walked in and say, I feel fine. I don't got no sickness. I went to the doctor. The doctor's report came back. I was fine. My blood pressure is good. My sugar level is good, whatever. Some of you are young in here, so you feel like, yeah, I'm young. I'm good. And it's important that you remember there are times, how do I say it like this? There are two things God is always concerned about. God always wants you to remember that your life is bigger than you. And so if God has blessed you right now with good health, great health, the Bible says he calls the young because they're strong. If you are healthy, God wants you to use that health to be able to offer that to others. Okay? And it's also important that you remember you must begin to learn how to live ready and not get ready. Too many Christians wait until crisis and emergency to try to get serious with God. We wait until there is a sickness in our family to want to run to God and understand healing. And what I found out is that in emergencies, I don't know about you, but in times of emergency, it's harder for me to try to tap into God. When everything seems to be going crazy around me, that's hard. It's hard for me to find solace and comfort in God. But what happens is, if I spend time in his presence on a day-to-day basis, when trials come, when the tests come, when the circumstances come, I'm ready for them when they come. And too many Christians are weak and defeated because they wait until their crisis to try to pray, to try to spend time with God and get in his word. And oftentimes it is the crisis that brings us to our knees and breaks us and it humbles us, gets us back to that place. But I don't want to live that. I don't want to live like that. I don't know about you. How many of you understand that armies are not built in times of war? Armies are built in times of peace. The armies train when there is no war. Why? So when the war starts, they're ready. Come on. So we need to understand that God is preparing us. I want you to get your posture ready. Get your posture ready. This is desperate times we're living in. The devil is so desperate, he's coming up in our schools and kids are shooting each other left and right. I heard somebody in this church the other day said, I'm going to pray for my friend's daughter. She's 12 years old and she tried to kill herself 3 times already. All right. So this is what's happening around us, what's going on in the world. As a believer, you're not supposed to sit there helpless. You know the God of miracles, the God who knows no impossibilities. It's your job as the church to be able to offer that God to the people who are dying, who are helpless, who are lost. Come on. Who are in darkness. You are the light of the world. And that's why Jesus said it's better that I leave, because if I'm here, y'all going to expect me to do everything. But Jesus said, it's better that I go, because when I leave, then I can impart to you my spirit so you can do what I do. And therefore, instead of there just being one Jesus on the earth, there can be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. However, as many as believe gave them power to become sons of God. So that you will do the works that he did and greater works. Everybody say greater works. All right. So we are in training mode right now, okay? Some of you have been blessed to see your healings and your deliverances in this room. Some of you in this room, you're going to hear this message. And if you're sick, I want you to lean into this message to receive your healing. And if you're not sick in any way, I want you to receive this message, because you're going to bring healing to somebody else when they need it. Because they need to hear this truth. Millions of Americans around this, and people around the world, are dying every day from sicknesses and diseases, unseen, unforeseen circumstances. People just wake up and all of a sudden they're in pain. They just wake up and all of a sudden they can't get out their bed. What's going on? None of us in this room are foreign to what sickness and disease and disabilities do to people. Right? And so we have to remember that healing was as much a part of the ministry of Jesus as preaching was. Amen. Everywhere the Bible says Jesus preached, he healed the sick. So we should be seeing as much healing as much as we hear in preaching. So often as we hear preaching and teaching, we should be healing. Because anytime you read the Gospels, you will see Jesus heal the sick as he preached the gospel of the kingdom. So I questioned us last week, if we are preaching the same message that Jesus preached, why are we not seeing the same results that Jesus saw? And what I want to spend some time today here is I want us to go a little deeper. How many of you were here last week for last week's message? All right? Was that good? It's about to get better. The first week, Apostle Barnes was here, and he laid a foundation teaching on the principles about healing. And then last week, I talked about healing being a guarantee, that it is God's will for you to be healed. That God's will is for you not only to receive healing, but to be healthy. That God wants you to live healthy, that you don't have to die as a result of sickness and disease. You don't have to die because of a sickness. You don't have to die that way. And God wants us to understand that divine health is his will for your life. We learned last week, just as a real brief recap, we learned the Bible says, and we read a familiar passage of scripture when a man asked Jesus if Jesus wants to heal him, and Jesus said, I am willing, and he healed him. But just a few verses just to stretch us a little bit. You know, Hebrews 13:8 tells us Jesus Christ said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Hebrews 10, verse 7, he said, lo, I come to do your will, O God. One of the things that the Bible says Jesus came to do was to do the will of God. And one of the hindrances to why more people don't receive healing, especially in the church, is because people question whether or not healing is God's will. That somebody will come up for prayer, and then we will try to pray for them, but then we're like, well, is it God's will to heal this person? And we'll hesitate, will doubt, will be skeptical as to whether or not God wants to heal them, because we're saying, you know, we'll pray and then at the end of our prayer, we'll close it off by saying, if it's your will. If it's your will. But the Bible tells us we can't pray that way. That if you pray and you're uncertain, you cannot expect to receive anything. So I want to blow that off of your head if I can and drop this bomb on your head. Anything you pray for and you don't know the will of God is, you're not going to get an answer for it. You need to know the will of God concerning every situation concerning you and concerning anybody else around you. If you don't know if it's God's will to provide, you ain't going to see provision. If you don't know if it's God's will for you to be blessed financially, you ain't going to be blessed financially. You need to know if it's God's will. How do we know God's will? We go into His Word. His Word is His will. So millions of Christians don't know God's will. Millions of unbelievers still don't know God's will. And everybody's suffering in the church and out the church. And the church, we have some more explaining to do because we have the book. We have the will. And we're not taking the time to know the will. We're letting man tell us. We're letting religious people tell us what God said instead of knowing what God said for ourselves. So we got these old preachers get up, and because they don't know God, because just because they know the Bible doesn't mean they know God. They'll get up and tell you miracles were for yesterday. They'll get up and tell you healing ended when the Bible was written. We don't need healing anymore because we have the perfect thing. We have the Word of God. But the Bible tells us Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So He's not going to come into the world healing and then leave and then stop healing. If He said, "Lo, I will be with you always, even until the end of the age." If He's still with us and He told the church to carry on His mission, to preach the same message He preached, then we should be seeing the same manifestation, the same results that Jesus saw in His life. Come on. But we are confused about the will of God. So Hebrews 10 verse 7, Paul said, or the writer of Hebrews said, the Bible says that Jesus said, "Lo, I come to do your will, O God." It's very important. So that means that Jesus was the illustration or the reflection of God's will, because everything He did was God's will. When we see Jesus, we see the will of God. So when we go back into the Gospels and we read the accounts when multitudes came following Him and they brought their sick, they brought their lame, they brought their broken to God. The Bible says in Matthew 12 verse 15, great multitudes followed Him and He healed them all. Everybody say all. Great multitudes followed Him and He healed them all. Remember, he never did anything outside of the will of God. Matthew 14, verse 36, as many as touched Him, they were made perfectly whole. Luke 6, verse 19, the whole multitude sought to touch Him, and He healed them all. All right? This is a common thread throughout the scriptures. Those who came to Jesus, we never see Jesus send anyone back and say, "I don't know if it's God's will to heal you." I've seen preachers do it. Literally, I've seen preachers do it. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "He is not willing that any should perish." God is not willing that anyone should perish. Again, His willingness is to see all of us healed, set free, delivered from any sickness, any disease. Now, I want to show you another verse, John 6, verse 38. Jesus said, "I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me." So everything Jesus did for humanity during His earthly ministry was a direct revelation of the perfect will of God for the human race. Okay? So I'm just laying the foundation. This is in the new covenant and in the old covenant. It was God's will. Exodus 15, verse 26, God declared, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord who heals you. And in Exodus 15, verse 26, we see that this the Lord that heals you, translated in the original language, Hebrew, is his name, Jehovah Rapha. Everybody heard that before? Jehovah Rapha. And it means the Lord that heals you. The Lord that heals you. Now, whenever God revealed an aspect of himself with a name, it was because with his name, he was also revealing his nature to us. So he was revealing to the people of Israel after they came out of Egypt that I am the Lord who wants to heal you. Now, if he's healing you, church, he cannot be making you sick at the same time. And so there are people today who believe God makes them sick. That God makes them sick to teach them a lesson or to make them humble. And then they will quote Job to you. They will tell you about Job and how God allowed this boil and these plagues to come upon Job and his family. But I thought we were disciples of Jesus, not Job. And I don't see it in the new covenant. And so what happened to Job is not the norm. In fact, what happened to Job, if you read the story of Job correctly, the Bible says that Job said of himself, the thing which I have feared the most has come upon me. Which means that Job feared that was going to happen for him. And if you know anything about fear, is that fear is an opening. Fear opens you up to an illusion that something will become or something that is not will be because you allowed it to. So out of fear, Job had this fear that he was going to lose everything. He had this fear that everything he had was going to lose, his health, his family, his wealth. And then when it came upon him, the Bible says God allowed this test to come Job's way to see if Job was still going to trust him. But after all was said and done and Job got through that circumstance, the Bible says God restored his health. God blessed him with double that he had. Come on, everything that he had came forth. So if you're like Job, I want to see how long you're going to stay in that condition or allow yourself to get through this test so God can give double to you, double your health, double your blessings, double your wealth. Come on. And Job's test, according to Bible historians, did not last for more than 10 to 12 months. So how can you be like Job for 9 years? For 10 years, 20 years, you're like Job. Come on, don't let this religion fool you, this religious stuff. You are in Christ. If it's not in Christ, it should not be in you. Whatever is in Christ, that is your inheritance. That's your right. So let me give you a few hindrances as to why people don't get healed. I wrote this list down. A few reasons why more people don't get healed. All right, I want you to write this down. We learned last week, number one. One reason why more people don't get healed is, number one, they don't want to be healed. They don't want to be healed. We learned John 5:6, when the man who was waiting at the pool of Bethesda, waiting for his healing, Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, and he said to him, do you want to get well? So before Jesus did anything, he wanted to find out if he even really wanted it. There are some people you try to pray for, and they don't want to be healed because they like being sick. They like the attention. They like the pity. They like being able to stay home and receive disability checks, all right? There are people that don't want to get well. All right. Number two, more people don't get healed. Number two, because they don't believe they can be healed. Some people don't believe they can be healed. They believe that their situation, for whatever reason, is just so, hard or so difficult. Maybe they were born with a condition and just feel like this is just the norm for themselves. There are some people who believe that because of something they've done wrong in their life, they deserve to be sick. I heard Halle Berry talk about the fact that she couldn't have kids. And in an interview, she talked about this, and she said, I believe that the reason why I can't have kids is because I had an abortion, and God is keeping me back from having kids because of a punishment for what I did wrong. So in her mind, her infertility or her ability not to have kids is because she had an abortion. Now, I know many people who have the same belief, that because of something they've done, they can't get blessed or they can't be healed. They don't know the mercy of God. They don't know the grace of God. They know bad theology. Which brings me to the next point. Another reason why more people don't get healed, they believe God wants them to be sick. They believe God wants them to be sick. Wrong beliefs will keep you sick. Bad theology will make it worse. John 9 verse 1 gives us an account when the Bible says that now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. There was a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was to be born blind? The Bible says that when the disciples saw this man who was blind, the conclusion that they arrived to was that somebody sinned, which is why he's blind. He sinned, so therefore he was sick. And this is all connected to the old covenant, that under the law, sickness was also a manifestation of the curse of the law, that if you broke the laws of God, one of the repercussions or the consequences of breaking the law was that you were going to get sick. Deuteronomy 28 talks about that. So it was not uncommon. He wants his healing, right? It was not uncommon for them to think this way. But here's what happened. When Jesus comes on the scene, look at what Jesus' response to them was. I want you to get that verse up if you can for me on the screen. John 9, verse 2. His disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Verse 3 then says, Jesus said, neither his parents or this man sinned. Now, we all sinned and fallen short of the glory. So how could Jesus then say neither his parents nor this man sinned? Of course they sinned at some point. But what Jesus was doing was, when it comes to healing, don't let this issue of sin get in the way to try to complicate this thing. Because my love for him is greater than his sin against me. You see, if we don't understand the grace of God, we will disqualify ourselves from the benefits and the promises of God to bless us despite of our sins, to be good to us despite of our sins, because where sin abounds, the Bible says, grace abounds even more. How many times, and I was guilty of this younger, when I was younger, when there were people that I didn't pray for because I thought they were too sinful. Because I knew them and I knew their stories, I'm like, God ain't going to do anything for you. What am I praying for? You know what he's doing right now? You know how he's living? And I would judge them. That was before I knew the love of God and the mercy of God. That in the mind of God, the Bible says in Romans 2, it is the goodness of God that leads to repentance. So God brings people to repentance, not by judging or punishing them. He brings people to repent, to change their lives, to turn from their ways, by actually showing them more of his goodness. So when you least expect to receive mercy or favor, God will show it to you because he wants his goodness to lead you to repentance. So from that point on, I started praying for people who I knew were in sin. I prayed for them more because I knew God's willingness was to redeem them, to save them, to be more good to them than they could be bad to him. And if you don't believe that about yourself, you're going to keep yourself under condemnation and guilt and blame and shame and say, oh, look at what I did. I had an abortion. Oh, I did this. I did this. I did that. God ain't going to bless me. God is not going to save me. No, the devil is trying to condemn you. The devil is trying to keep you in shame. But God's love and God's grace is this. When you were his enemies, he died for you so that through his grace, he will show you his mercy and then you will be changed and you'll be saved. Amen. So some people believe God wants them to be sick. Here's another one. They're believing in one day faith and not now faith.
That's good.
They're believing in one day faith, not now faith. If you're Jehovah, if you came up in a Jehovah Witness background, you probably know what I'm talking about. I remember a Jehovah Witness came to my house one day limping, and she wanted to tell me about Jesus. So I told her, I said, you know what? I pray for people sometimes and they get healed sometimes. I said, I saw you limping up the steps. Let me pray for you and see what happens. This lady said, no, I don't want you to pray for me. I said, but I believe in the same Jesus you're talking about. You're reading the same Bible, right? So this Jesus healed. So I want to pray for you so that he can heal you too. I saw that you're limping. She said, no, don't pray for me. He's going to heal me in the afterlife. So I said, so God wants you to walk around all up this block like that?
Right.
I said, let me pray for you, ma'am. The lady took her track back and said, I have to leave.
Wow.
And limped down the steps.
Wow.
And I'm calling her, said, Bliss, let me just pray for you. She would not let me pray. Because her theology taught her that she would get healed later, not now. But why do we need healing after we die? Why do we need healing after we die? We need it now. I'm not sick in heaven. So God is going to give us a gift of healing and the power to heal just so that we'll never use it?
Come on, Jesus.
So lo and behold, she limped down the steps, and she didn't come back. But that's later faith. So a few years ago, we were out for our serve day, and we were walking around the block, and there was a lady who came, and she I saw her limping, and I told her, I said, well, you know, we're from the church around the corner. We're going around, and we're blessing people. I said, I saw you limping up the block. I want to pray for you so that you'll be healed. She said, oh, that, thank you, that's nice. So then I stooped down to pray for her. She said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to pray for you. She said, oh, well, in my church, when they say they're going to pray for you, they just pray later. I didn't think you were going to do it right now. I said, no, if I'm going to pray, I want to see you get healed right now. Lo and behold, I got down on my knees. I prayed for her foot. Commanded strength in her legs or whatever I prayed. And then I got up and I said, I want you to do something you couldn't do before. I put her faith in the now.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
And then she started walking because she didn't expect to see anything happen. She said, wait a minute, all the pain is gone from my foot.
Hallelujah.
She said, you don't know. I had this pain for weeks. She went to the doctor. I forgot the term they gave, but she has some contusion or something in her foot. She was thinking that she was going to have to do surgery about it, but she got healed right there. All the pain was gone.
Hallelujah.
Now watch this. It didn't end there. Some of y'all were here. An hour later, she came back. She saw us. She said, I was looking for you all around the neighborhood. She said, I said, why? She said, I went back home and told my grandmother what happened. She said, go and tell that man to come pray for me.
Wow. Hallelujah.
So they invite us to the house. It was her and two little kids. We went back to the house. It was about four of us. The grandmother was sitting down on her couch. She had some issue with her back. She couldn't stand for too long. She couldn't bend over. She was in so much pain. I said, well, I felt like, you know, when the Bible says Jesus, when he was out and they called the disciples to come to people's house, I felt like that at that moment. I said, now I see what he was talking about. So they invited us over to the house. They were in there cooking, frying chicken in the kitchen. I was hoping they would give me one after. But then after we walked in, I saw the grandmother come. I mean, she came to me. I told her to stand up. And I just told her, I said, I'm going to lay my hands on your back. And after I pray for you, I want you to do something you couldn't do before I prayed for you. Lay my hands on her back. I commanded strength back in her back. And then this woman leaned back, and when she leaned forward and touched the floor, I mean, I can't even do it right now. She came and she touched the floor with both hands. Total flexibility, total freedom in her back. She couldn't do that for months, she said. Totally healed. And it got better. The young lady I prayed for whose foot was messed up, I noticed that her daughter had something in her ear, some type of hearing aid. I said, what happened to your daughter? She said, oh, she's partially deaf. She can't hear very well. I said, well, how is this impacting her? She was like, well, she can't go to the same school as her brother because she has to go to a special school because of the issue in her ear. I said, well, you know, the same God that healed you and healed your grandmother can heal her. And so I command her ear to open up. I take the hearing aid out her ear. We close the one ear that was a little better. We close that ear, and I just said some words real softly to see if she can hear me. And the more I spoke to her, the more she can hear. The more she can hear. The more she can hear. Then she started crying out of joy because she started healing. I'm talking about three miracles in one household. All because we shifted that one woman's faith from later faith to now faith. You see, we put off everything to the future. We put off blessings for later. We'll say one day God is going to do it. Listen, the one day is the day you put your faith in the now. That one day you're waiting for. Listen, he already did everything he wanted to do at the cross. When he died for your sins and made you right with God, he already did everything he needed to do for you today. So the one day you're waiting for is the day you say, this is going to happen for me now. Come on. God doesn't live in time. You do. Now we're waiting on God. God is waiting on us. That family came to the church the following week just to say thank you. They came to service the week after. Whole family. They had their own church. So they just said, I'm going to come this Sunday because I just wanted to see where you come from. Wow. It's good stuff, right?
Yeah.
Another reason why more people don't get healed. They believe in their condition more than they believe in healing. They believe in their condition more than their healing. You can see it. I've seen it.
Yeah.
It's just so, it's just, for them, it's too real. It's so heavy. It's so painful. It's this and that. And I told you, the minute you can take your eyes off of your sickness and place it on Jesus more than your sickness, when Jesus becomes more real to you than your pain, than your suffering, then you'll be healed.
Yeah.
That's why you worship. That's why you're supposed to worship till you get lost.
Yes.
And when you get lost in his presence, you forget where you are. You forget what time it is. You forgot that you even had a headache. You forgot that you had an issue when you came in here. And then all of a sudden, you check yourself, and then you were healed in the moment of euphoria in his presence. Why? Because his glory became more real than your condition. And that's why when Apostle Barnes said, there's three ways you can be healed. You can be healed through faith. You can get healed through the gift of healing, and you can get healed in the glory. And one of the things I want to do is raise up a church that's going to be so acquainted with the glory of God that our services would be so rich in the glory that when people walk in this place, before they walk back out, they forgot they had an addiction because the addiction is broken. They forgot they had an issue in their body because the issue was gone by the time they walk out. They forgot they had a tumor in their stomach because by the time worship was over, the tumor was gone. Come on, that happens in the glory, in the presence of God. What's not like God can't live in his presence. Hallelujah. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in me is the hope of glory. That healing is to be expected and received in the church. James chapter 5. Verse 13 through 15 tells us this. Is anyone among you suffering? Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is any among you sick? Everybody say any. That means any. Is any among you sick? Let him or her call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. You know how many people come to church sick and won't let their elders pray for them? That's a rebuke. That if you're sick, one of the first things you should do is run to your elders before you run to your doctors. Come on. And oftentimes it's for shame. Or many times it's because we want to protect our image. We don't want to let people know we're sick. We feel like, oh, I don't want to bother anybody. No. The Bible tells you that if you are sick, call for the elders. The elders shouldn't have to call you. You should call for the elders, those who are stronger in faith, those who have experience in God. Let him or her call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him or her, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. Yes. That word save there means heal. Yes. And the prayer of faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And watch this. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Okay, so he lets you know the sin issue is not in the way again. Again, if you're sick, the Bible says, call on those who are strong in faith around you, in your community, and ask them to pray with you. Ask them to lay hands on you. Allow them to anoint you with oil, and expect for the Lord to raise you up. Expect for the Lord to heal you. But so many people come to church not expecting healing. Which means me to my next point. They believe sickness and disease is just a normal part of life. Some people just believe sickness and disease is normal. Everybody gets sick. Everybody gets sick. That's what people say. But the Bible says Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. He came to destroy the works of the enemy. And that's why he healed people everywhere he went. Acts 10:38, everywhere he went, he was doing good and healing all of those who were oppressed of the devil. Acts 10:38, everywhere he went, he was doing good, healing those who were oppressed of the devil. Again, the enemy, God could not have been making people sick, and then Jesus was coming along and healing people. Because they would be in conflict, right? A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. God is not the proponent of your sickness. God is the advocate of your healing, come on, of your deliverance, of your strength, of your health. Hallelujah. And there are three types of sicknesses. There's physical sickness, there's mental sicknesses, and there's spiritual sicknesses. I don't have time to go into all three, but you should know, physical sickness, mental or psychological sickness, and spiritual sickness, three different levels of sicknesses. Therefore, there's also three levels of healing. Yes. Yes. And physical healing is the lowest level of healing. Because a person can be healed physically, but if the mental and spiritual root is not dealt with, they will go back to their sickness. That's why there are people who get healed and can be sick again. Because the mental and the spiritual was not dealt with. So that's why if all I do is lay hands on you and you get a little breakthrough, but I don't empower you and equip you in the truth of what Christ has done for you, you can go back to the same mental and spiritual state that will bring you back to the same sickness you were in. So if I don't tell you it's illegal to get sick in heaven, if I tell you that the enemy is a lawbreaker and he would try to put something on you that God didn't put on you, if you don't understand that and you just loathe in it and allow yourself to become overtaken by it, then what will begin to happen is you will make provision for your own self to get sick. Did I offend you yet? I need to offend you. I need you to get upset. Why was I thinking like this all my life? Who lied to me and told me that it's okay to be sick? It's not. Come on. My wife and I was in a car accident, not too big, a few years ago. We were in a fender bender. We were driving home from Queens. I don't know if she remembers this. And somebody ran into the back of the car. And nothing, there was no major damage to the car. And so we didn't exchange anybody's information. So while we were driving back home, we got on the Jackie Robinson. And I started feeling a pain on the back of my neck. And Shanique was saying the same thing. She said, she started feeling this pain. And she mentioned that I think we should probably go to the hospital just to check up, just to make sure everything is okay. And while we were on the Jackie Robinson, she said that, and about 20 seconds after she said that, another voice said to me, just because you were in an accident doesn't mean you have to accept the pain. The voice of God said to me right then and there, because what happens is we'll think, oh man, somebody hit you from the back, or you probably got whiplash. People literally walk around with a brace, a neck brace in their car. So if anything like that happens, they're just going to put it on and be ready to sue somebody. Bracing themselves for sickness. Okay? But the voice of God said to me right there, just because you got hit in the car accident doesn't mean you have to accept the pain. And I told Shanique that. I said, just because we got hit doesn't mean we got to accept the pain. By the time we got back to the block, 10 minutes later, all the pain in both of our necks was gone. Hallelujah. You don't have to accept any disease, any sickness, any infirmity. You don't have to accept it. Yes. Come on, you don't have to accept it. Hallelujah. I don't care what the condition is. Come on, say, I am healthy.
I am healthy.
I am strong.
I am strong.
The last thing I said I wanted to show you, they don't believe in the finished work of Christ. And I want to end right here. Isaiah 53, we're going to end right here. I got 4 minutes and 47 seconds. Let's see how I pull this off. Isaiah 53, many of you know it. This is the infamous scripture that describes what Jesus went through on the cross for you and me. Now, this is the thing I really wanted to say today. And I want you to write this down. Forgiveness and healing happened at the same cross. Thank you for that one clap. I'll say it again. Forgiveness and healing happened at the same cross at the same time. So we have been trained, Nigel, that if somebody was to stop the service right now and say, I want to give my heart to Christ, I want to be saved, would any of us in here doubt whether it was the will of God for that man to get saved? Right? None of us would doubt. Why? Because we've been taught, thankfully, over the years,
that forgiveness of sins is God's will. God is ready to forgive us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So we've already learned that forgiveness of sins is already God's will. We won't doubt if a person said they want to be saved, that they can be saved. But somewhere along the way, we have left out the healing aspect to Calvary. Yeah, right. That when he died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, he also at the same time died on the cross for the healing of all of our diseases. So we have preached Christ the Savior, but we haven't preached Christ the Healer. So then people come to church, they get saved and forgiven of their sins. They're spiritually made right with God, but then physically they still walk out of church sick, handicapped, disabled, because no one has offered the healing Christ to them, only the saving Christ to them. They only got faith for the salvation of their sins, and they know if they die, they're going to heaven. But then here on this earth right now, they don't know if God wants them to be healed. But it happened at the same cross. Isaiah 53. Let's read it together. Isaiah 53. You guys got it? Verse, I'm going to jump from, because of the sake of time. Verse 4. I'm going to read from 1. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up, talking about Jesus, he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of a dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people will hide their faces, as he was despised, and we all held him in low esteem. Surely, watch this, he took up our griefs and carried our sorrows. Some translations will say he took up our pain, or he took up our sicknesses, and he carried our sufferings or our sorrows. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was being pierced or wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was on him. And watch this. And by his stripes we are healed. So the Bible says he carried our sicknesses. So not only did he put on himself our sin, he put on him at the same time at the cross our sicknesses. And he bore it. He carried it. So that means, Nigel, come, if somebody was carrying something, just pick up that book bag for me. It's heavy. So Nigel's carrying this book bag. This is his condition, his sickness. He's putting it on his shoulder. And he's going through life carrying. Put it on your shoulder. And he's going around carrying this condition. When the Bible says that Jesus bore our sicknesses, because remember, he didn't go to the cross for his sins. He went to the cross for our sins. He did nothing wrong. He never sinned. But he was going to the cross as a substitute for us, so we would never have to receive the punishment or judgment that our sins brought on ourselves. So remember I said under the law, if you broke certain curses, you got certain diseases and sicknesses. And because we were all guilty of breaking the law, sickness had a right and had access to you. So we were carrying certain things in certain conditions in our lives, over our family, etc. So here it is, I just walking and carrying the sickness. When the Bible says that he bore our sickness, Jesus literally took what we were carrying on us, put it on himself, and then when he went to the cross, he allowed himself to be pierced, to be bruised, to be stabbed, to be spit on, to be punished by God. Why? So that the punishment for our sins, he put on himself. And once he put on this, he carried the sins for us and carried these sufferings for us and carried these sicknesses for us, it meant that now I don't have to carry it around on me. Right? If he carries sickness for me, why does God want me to carry a sickness today? Come on, God doesn't want you to walk around carrying any sickness. Jesus already carried it. He carried it all the way to the cross, all the way to Calvary. He went for me. He went for you. And when he said, it is finished, it is finished. So why do people still get sick? Because the devil is a liar. And he's a lawbreaker. He knows that you don't have any right to be sick. But he wants to know, do you know that? And as long as you believe the liar, you empower the liar. Yeah? So, as we closed, the finished work of Christ, the finished work of Jesus, is the cornerstone of the entire Christian faith. We understand that he's forgiven us of all of our iniquities and all of our sins. But at the same cross, when he died for our sins, he also died for your sicknesses. And I think that now, from now on, as we preach Jesus and we introduce people to Christ, we need to at the same time not only tell them that he forgives them of their sins, we need to at the same time tell them he also heals people of their sicknesses. As soon as you meet Jesus, you should know that. Come on, you can be free to be healed right now. Nobody needs to lay hands on you. Once that truth comes into your mind and heart, you can be set free. I said you can be free to get healed right now. Nobody needs to lay hands on you. You see, it is finished puts an end to any doubt or deliberation inside of your mind. There's nothing more for God to do. You're waiting for somebody with a special anointing to come and lay hands on you? It doesn't matter, because if you don't believe the truth of what happened to you, it doesn't matter. You wait for a revivalist to come, Benny Hinn to come, nothing is going to change. Because you get healed at his service and go back home, and in 2 weeks you get sick again. Because it's the truth that sets us free. Hallelujah! And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If I be lifted up, I would draw all men unto me. That's what he did 2,000 years ago. That's why it's not even if you can be healed. The question is, do you want to be healed? Because it's already done. And once you're convinced and persuaded in your heart about this truth, healing becomes effortless.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.